So many teenagers waiting to be adopted from foster care feel like their lives are over. They've given up hope of having a permanent home and are terrified of aging out with no support system. Right now, more than 113,000 children are waiting to be adopted in the U.S. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is dedicated to finding them the right family before it's too late. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org/learn more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here it comes.
Up the stairs with KJ Osborne, Vikings receiver and Vikings quarterback, and walking.
Hey, homies, it's producer Pete Demolitis, a.k.a. Pete Demolitis. Chris is currently on a beach somewhere, enjoying a much-deserved week off, but we did not want to leave you hanging, so we are actually going to release three podcasts this week of interviews that Chris and PFT Live co-host Mike Florio did from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. So today's episode, we've got a few quarterbacks and a couple prospects from the upcoming draft. So first interview, Chris's boy blue, Josh Allen, reveals that he still holds a grudge against a certain Hall of Fame quarterback. Then next interview, we've got Baker Mayfield talking about his future with Tampa Bay after his comeback season this year. And then Mike Florio goes gaga over his Vikings with Kirk Cousins and KJ Osborne. They come on and talk about their future in Minnesota. And then a couple prospects that we have. The first is University of Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr., a lefty quarterback just like Chris, talks about whether he's going to throw at the scouting combine, which is coming up next week. And finally, last interview for today, top tight end prospect in the draft, Brock Bowers from Georgia. He tells us which team in the top 10 he hopes drafts him. So sit back and enjoy the interviews.
Chris got very happy the other day when he found out that our next guest would be joining us. He is the great Buffalo Bills quarterback, Chris's boy Blue.
My boy Blue.
Josh Allen is here. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Great to have you. He was so happy. It's like Christmas morning for Chris.
As I was telling him just a second ago, when they told me they were like, Josh Allen's coming here, my first initial thing was, he's too rich to be coming to Radio Row. There's no way. There's no way he's coming here. But then I see Subway, and we got a rocket launcher here and all this stuff going on. And so, damn, they're paying you a lot, and here you are, and I'm happy,
I can't just be hanging out with my guys.
I'd like to think you'd want to hang out with me, but I appreciate you even trying to fake that one there.
I love the rocket launcher because you're the last guy that needs an external rocket launcher. You are the rocket launcher.
Right.
You're not wrong, but we got some goodies in there. If the interview goes well, we got the new footlong cookie.
Right.
We got the Cinnabon footlong.
I saw
churro,
that. Ooh.
And then we got the Annie Ann's footlong pretzel. So if the interview goes well, I'll feed you guys after.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Only if it goes well, though. So be careful in the questions that you're asking. Yeah.
And we got some tough ones too. We're ready. We're ready for the hot light.
First thing is you've hit another stratosphere of superstar here, like the last 2-3 years certainly. When you come to an event like this, do you ever get starstruck by anybody? Does that even happen to you anymore?
Yeah, I mean, you see some of the greats, sitting back there talking to Eli Manning. It's just so surreal, saying what's up to Mike Vick, just past Matt Ryan, who I've got so much respect for. And
right.
You see these guys, and it's like to share the field with some of these guys, too, it's surreal to me.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
You're 6 years in to your career. And you have entered your prime. How much better can you be, though?
I feel like I could be a lot better. In terms of decision making, ball placement. Again, I think mechanically I got a little off last year just because of some ailments and just
trying to figure it out.
Yeah, just trying to figure it out. It my mechanics, and you don't try to, but they switch on you just a little bit because you feel a little tweak in your throwing shoulder, and it's just like, I don't want to feel that. So you switch it up a little bit, and I think the last probably four or five weeks, I felt like me again.
Yeah.
And again, just making sure I'm staying constant with that this off season and working with the appropriate people to stay on top of that.
Right.
And again, mentally, again, decision-makings, the interceptions, got to limit those and stop doing that. And but I think there's still a lot of room left to grow.
How do you handle media, the noise, people like us, right? You become one of the more polarizing people in football in a lot of ways. I mean, we're sitting here going, wait, the greatest one-man show in football right now is number 17 in Buffalo.
And we say it all the time.
We're like, I don't know. But then there's...
I'm not just trying to get the churro. We say it all the time.
But there's a group of people, too, that, I don't know, somehow don't see it that way. And I'm always impressed by you just stay so even-keeled. Do you hear it? Do you block it out? Or are you just that good at kind of just accepting it and going on?
For the longest time, I've always said, doesn't matter what anybody else says because I've already said it to myself.
Yeah.
All the positive things and all the negative
right.
things. I've had those internal discussions with me, and you know, throughout the season, it's like, what am I like? Get your head out of there, right? Like, let's step up. Let's be the guy that we're supposed to be. And again, we've had some rough stretches at some points, and we've always found a way to pull out of it and find ways to win. And it's no different than this year than it was a few years ago, when we were 7-6. You know,
right.
We were six and six this year at the bye, and found a way to rattle off all those wins and give ourselves a chance. And I really think that, you know, we make one or two more plays in that game, I think it could be a different story right now. But, again, that's every year.
Yeah.
What was the spark this year to turn it around? Because it felt like it was done. It was over. You're not even going to get to the playoffs. What turned it around?
Well, I think that bye week, just guys, to get away, take your mind off it. And once you come back, it's like, let's turn the page and let's go. And I think there was an article that came out about Coach McDermott as well. I think
right.
that kind of
yes.
brought us together
yeah.
and rallied us around him. And again, when you get guys that are working extremely hard, doing the right things, pulling together in the same direction, I think that's when you find success. And I think that's what we did in the later half of the season.
It's amazing how much we forget because we process so much information about the NFL. But Rasul Douglas told me after one of the games late in the season that what Sean McDermott said to the team after that article came out was the moment that it turned.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it really was. And it's been so fun to grow as a quarterback and grow with your head coach, with Coach McDermott, what he's been able to do, and to see how he's transitioned from even the first year that I got here, and to see how much he's grown and how much respect that he has in that locker room. And, you know, it's not easy for what he's done the last couple of years. He's basically been the defensive coordinator and the head coach, and he's been calling the defense and a lot of stuff going different directions, and that's hard to do. So I got a lot of respect for him. I freaking love Coach McDermott. But yeah, that throughout the season, there was that moment where he talked to us and things kind of changed.
Yeah, it seemed like it. I mean, credit to you guys for hanging in there and being stubborn and staying after football. I want to hit a little on the team that's here in the Super Bowl, right? I know how competitive you are. I was a quarterback. I didn't want to like, you know, my rival quarterback. Like, I liked them, but I was like, if I played Michael Vick, I was like, I want to beat his butt this week, right? My dad would say the same thing about Joe Montana when he was playing, right? Talk about the Chiefs a little bit, right? And just what makes them the Chiefs in your mind and kind of allows them to separate this time of the year.
Well, I mean, they got Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Who's already one of the best to ever strap up.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, who's been there, and the camaraderie that those two have, you know, Travis is running routes that he's not supposed to run.
Right.
He's feeling things. He's turning around, getting open and being friendly for Pat. And I think with Coach Reed there being the constant in his offensive system and being able to script guys and get guys open. And then this year, their defense played spectacular.
Right.
You know, they were one of the best defenses in the league statistically. And when you got a great offensive play caller, and guys that can go execute, and a really good defense.
Right.
That's a pretty good recipe for success.
Fair to say that was the best defense you played this year?
Yeah, I think they were up there.
Right.
You know, you talk about them. I think the Jets had a pretty good D as well.
Right.
And a couple other teams, but yeah, they're it's even. Yeah.
Do you lean for the Super Bowl? I mean, you haven't played the 49ers in like 3 years, so I know you don't have a great feel for them. I think you played them in Arizona in COVID year, right?
Did, yeah.
Like a weird game there. But you know, where do you lean, right? I don't want you to pick. I know you don't want to probably pick. I'd love you to pick. Do you want to pick it? I mean,
I honestly, I don't know. I go back and forth, and I'm such a fan of the game. I'm still probably going to watch it, even though it's going to
hurt. I hear you.
It depends if the Niners D-line can cause some havoc for Pat.
Right.
That could be the difference.
Without blitzing, can the front four get there, right?
And not many people have been able to do that against them.
Right.
But on the other side of that, too, it's will the Niners stay committed to the run?
Yeah.
And they're going to run a bunch of probably outside zone and let Christian make one cut and get upfield and keep doing that and then play action them. And I think it could be a pretty close game.
Yeah, I would expect. You think you can run on that Chiefs defense a little, though, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. But again, you run and you get stuffed in second and 10.
Yeah, now you're like, oh, Spags has got all these crazy blitzes and defenses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Josh, what do you guys need to do to get here? So you're not here. So the other Josh Allen's here instead of you on Radio Row.
You know, we've been extremely close the last couple years, last few years, really, even going back to 2 years ago. Comes down to one or two plays throughout the game. And, you know, we got to find a way to make those. And starts with me and again, just trying to be the best quarterback and the best teammate that I could be for the Buffalo Bills, and you know we're gonna keep digging away and trying to find a way to get it done.
I got a question for you about the game against the Chiefs, and I don't mean to bring up bad memories, but I'm just genuinely curious about this. As you guys were driving, as the clock was ticking and ticking toward the 2 minute warning, it almost felt like the plan was we're gonna take this all the way down. We're not gonna leave 13 seconds or any time for Patrick Mahomes to score again. If it's a field goal and we tie it up, walk off, great. Touchdown with hardly any time, great. But then I feel like at the 2 minute warning it changed, because right after that you had Shakir in the end zone. If you don't get hit, that may be a touchdown, and if it works, it's a touchdown, but Mahomes has nearly 2 minutes. Was there a conscious decision to kind of flip that strategy?
No. I mean, the name of the game on the offensive side is score, right? No matter how you do it, you have an opportunity, and again, that's one play that if I can move up in the pocket just a little bit and not get hit throwing it, who knows? Who knows what they do? You know, it takes one of our guys on defense to make a play, and, you know, we've shown that we could do that in the past, too. So,
but I guess my question is, did you guys consciously decide, screw it, we're not going to worry about how much time we leave him, we're just going to go do what we do?
Yeah, I think I don't know if that was a conscious effort, but at the same time, it was like, let's call our best play here. You know, let's go score a touchdown and see what we can do. We're close.
What's the coolest play Josh Allen's made in Josh Allen's mind in his career? Like, you're the human highlight show, right? And you and 15, there's nobody like watching you. Lamar's right up there with you guys as well, right? But, like, what's the one play the last few years you've been like, shit, I can't believe I pulled that one off. I pulled that out of my ass, right? What is that one?
I think Chiefs regular season this year to Latavius.
The falling out of the sideline?
Falling to the left.
That was insanity. Yeah.
And even, like, all the commotion that happened right after the play, too. Like, it was so much chaos. Nobody knew really what happened, what was going on. I'm on the ground. I didn't know if he caught it. I heard the crowd cheering, so I thought we dropped it.
Right. He fumbled at the end of the play.
That's
right.
Yeah, so it was that was a crazy one. And then I still think the best throw I think I've ever made was in Denver to Jake Kumerow. It was basically a ball right up the middle. Basically, two-on-one on the backside safety, Justin Simmons. They were playing basically four push, and I just got him to stop his feet just for a second.
Right.
And I threw this ball literally as hard as I could.
Yeah.
And that's still one of my favorite throws, and I threw it to Jake Kumerow, who's an awesome human being, and he did so much good for us, and that was a fun one.
You flushed that one.
That one came off. It was a four iron that just came off the face and went straight.
It's probably the thin air and the altitude. I don't know if you could really throw it that hard.
Yeah.
That's probably the
right. Got lucky.
So, is there a quarterback that has ever played that you could sit down and talk to and you could pick his brain to help you go next level? Who would it be that you would sit down and talk to?
That's a really good question.
You've hung with Brady. You've hung with Rodgers.
I know. I'm trying to think outside the box.
Right,
here.
Yeah, I hear you. I know. That's, you know, have you had a lot of time with Peyton?
Not a whole lot. I was probably leaning towards him. He saw the game so well.
Yeah.
He just get him in gun, let him call what he wants to call. He just started peppering guys underneath, and all of a sudden they
it was inevitable when you're on the other sideline.
Over the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was phenomenal. I don't think he gets enough credit, and I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. But in terms of mentally what he was able to do, it's unbelievable. It really is. And I'm such a fan of his.
How about Elway? Because, like, you play so much like him. You're basically new age Elway in my mind. I'm an older guy, right?
Yeah.
Have you got to talk to him much?
He's a dolphin.
Here and there, go to golf here and there? A few beers
and
golf?
The only problem, like, when we're during the draft, Denver had the fifth pick.
Oh, right. Right. So you were like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So,
I don't want to talk to Elway.
No, he's awesome, though.
How could they have done that?
And who else? I don't know. That's a really good question. There's been a lot of quarterbacks in this league that have done it at a very high level for a long time.
That's a good question. I want you to do the Subway thing in 1 second. Last thing I want to ask you, though, is just like, should we just give up on you protecting your body? Is that not going to happen? You're not getting any better at it. You're just actually just crazy.
I think I am
Josh Allen. You still got a damn scar on your hand from a game 3 weeks ago. Both hands. You're not getting any better. I can't help it.
You do run it less, though. That's something we clued on early in your career. You try to be a little more careful until it's playoff time. Then when it's playoff time, it's let it fly.
Jump over everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it the panic button, but it's the in case of emergency button. Right?
Like, right. Is there a button like that on the launcher?
There is. But I did it. I kind of Dr. Oz'd it, so I figured out you're going to pick a two-digit number, and you're going to pick a two-digit number.
Oh,
but you got to go first.
32.
Okay.
11.
Yeah, got it.
Oh, Phil's number.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Oh, no. Died on us. I had it, too.
You had it? You knew it was 32 and 11?
32 and 11.
You're full of crap. All right? You're good at quarterback. You're not reading
minds. That's your number that you wore in high school, and 32 is your your wife's birthday is March 2nd.
No. My dad wore 11.
Nice try. You know, 32 is my number because it was the number of the house I grew up in, on the street where I grew up, and I discovered football December 23, 1972, when number 32, Franco Harris, caught the immaculate reception. I was seven years old,
and I
was
clueless. I knew that's why.
You knew it, just like Dr. Oz.
Right.
Yeah, so
If it was up to me, I would have gotten you guys the snacks, but we'll come back. We'll bring them to you later.
Okay, all right, good.
Josh, you're the best,
you
man.
Are the best.
We appreciate you so much. We both were thrilled. He was more than me. We both were thrilled that we were going to get a chance to sit down and talk to you.
You guys do a good job.
Well, you do a great job. We're just trying to keep up.
Yep.
There he is, Josh Allen.
Josh
More
Allen.
From the Super Bowl after this. Here he is, Baker Mayfield, Buccaneers quarterback for now, maybe for good.
We'll he better
how
be.
How you feeling?
Feel good.
Happy to be
one,
here.
One Buck QB to another. But
I love it.
He's a boomer
but one
sooner.
One has a spleen.
Well, he does have a spleen, and he's a boomer sooner. All right? So
that's a low blow.
It is a low blow, right? Damn it.
Fresh.
How you feeling, man? What's going on?
Feel good. Yeah, just got to enjoy the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And just being around guys in a different atmosphere and just enjoy the seasons that everybody had and their families there. Something that I hadn't really been a part of.
Right.
And just to see him kind of relax and still competitive in a certain way, but just enjoying it was fun.
I know business is business, but you do seem at home in Tampa, right? I played there. It's a cool spot, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I went into it with not really knowing anything about Tampa is a city,
right?
And very little knowledge about the Bucs, but just loved it. The people there, from top down, they're all about business and how to win, and that's something I can relate to.
Right. Fan base is more passionate than it gets credit for.
They are.
Right.
But it's one of those cities that people want to travel to later in the year, so you get a lot of away fans.
Yeah, I know.
So,
right.
But fan base is definitely passionate. You get the people that are talking about, I've been here since the old Sombrero Stadium and all that.
Right.
So it's a fun place to be.
Right.
I want to spin it back to a year ago, Baker, because we talked about this a lot as free agency was approaching. Great 2018 season, spectacular 2020 season. 2021 gets derailed week two with the shoulder injury. 2022 just ends up being a shit show, frankly.
Because the Browns screwed you
over. And then you're in
period.
Carolina, and that's part two, shit show. And then, London. And that we're live in London, but they don't bleep it out anyway when they have a five-hour head start. We're live today. They'll live with it. But I thought that there would be like others like us who understand you get this guy healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You get him motivated, you're going to get a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Why do you think there wasn't more interest?
I don't know. I think just the inconsistency. I think people aren't willing to take a chance on that. But I knew Todd Bowles from the very beginning, pre-draft stuff, and he knew exactly who I was as a person, and obviously a player, but who I was as a person culturally, just to try and implement that in the locker room and to get guys to believe and get that fire back into it. And so all you need is one chance, and so they took that chance.
Do you think that gets underrated, though, the value of having a guy like you come in and become the teammate that everyone loves, the leader that everyone follows, the straw that stirs the drink, setting aside whatever you do on the football field, having that presence within the locker room, not the coach being the one to do it, but the guy in the middle of all of it. Do you think teams don't value that the way they should?
It's definitely undervalued, but here's the thing. They had all the other pieces to where I could just come in there and be myself. They allowed me to do that. They allowed me to be the best version of myself, and so that's what was the best part about it. And so you get everybody on the same page, and I love finding out why people are wired a certain way, what makes them tick. And so getting to know some of these veterans, the guys that have had a lot of success, and then also the young guys and bringing them along, it's just I love that part of it, and it was enjoyable.
You just took me right where I wanted to go, like how people are wired and all that, because you're chippy, right? You're chippy. You told our Rodney Harrison that you have little man syndrome to a degree, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
So where did that come from? Like, has that always naturally been in you? Do you remember your parents telling you that as a kid? Like, where do you find that chippiness?
It goes back a long ways.
Yeah.
I was always extremely competitive in sports. Right. Tried to play as many sports as possible, and right. I think that's important for kids to do nowadays. But then, on top of that, was a very late bloomer. So recruiting nowadays for quarterbacks in high school it starts so early.
Eighth grade.
And I was 5'2 as a freshman. So right. It's like I'm not getting any looks.
No.
And then I grew up right in the backyard of UT's home
Don't
field.
Don't be shooing us away over here.
And just not getting the looks that I thought I deserved at that time.
Yeah.
And just carried that mindset. All right, if they don't want me, I'm going to go prove it to people why I deserve it.
Then you go to Texas Tech. And get disrespected there. I'm sitting there watching you on the field in Kansas going, damn, this guy right here, they're like, he's can throw it. Like, oh my gosh, this guy's a player.
I could throw it. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, you could throw it.
Yeah. Looking back, as you're a young college guy, you don't exactly know the game of football, but you're out there enjoying it and just throwing it around.
Yeah, you what made you finally, because it's such a unique story, and I don't think everybody realizes you're at Texas Tech, and Mahomes is coming, and Cliff Kingsbury's there. You know, what finally made you realize, I got to leave here, and I'm going to go to Oklahoma and move on with life?
Yeah, and I don't like bringing up bad stories, but everything happens for a reason. So started the first 5 games, sprained my MCL against Kansas. We were 5-0. Thought when I came back healthy, I was going to play again.
Yeah.
And I grew up an OU fan.
Yeah.
And so my heart wasn't in it at Texas Tech. So when I asked if I was going to be put on scholarship at Texas Tech, they said, no, we're still working on one for the fall. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to truly enjoy it.
Right.
And if I get one, then great. But I'm going to go somewhere where I've always wanted to go.
Oh,
that's
good for you.
Took a chance on it.
More of a life decision.
Exactly, exactly.
Right. Good for you, dude.
One of the things we like about you is you're candid. You tell it like it is. No pulled punches, no BS. And you were candid last week about the offensive coordinator choice in Tampa being a factor in whether or not you would want to stay. How do you feel about their decision to hire Liam Cohen?
I love it. Obviously, I think there was a lot of good choices, so I don't know how that process went down, but somebody that I was with in L.A.
Right.
two years ago. That's a big part of it, but I think also it's the same system as what Canales was running, and so I think, people can say I had an input on it. Not necessarily that. It's they're looking, how can this transition be the easiest for our offensive guys, having to learn a new scheme, not putting too much on their plate, but having the similar verbiage and system and schemes and all that, and just for them to be able to hit the ground running, and that's a big part of it.
What was your, in your coaching world there, what was your time like with McVay, right? It was such a weird thing.
Yeah.
You had the magical Thursday night game where you're like literally off the plane, like, what? Here's the play? Okay, I'll figure out how to play.
Yeah.
What impressed you about him?
How cerebral he really is.
Right.
Watching him in his prep work, not necessarily – I mean, him calling a game, you can tell how he sets plays up and how he schemes things up, but how he can truly coach every single position on the field.
Right.
And that's something to admire, that he knows every detail, how he wants it done. And so he's out there during walkthroughs sprinting for the receivers on a motion that's supposed to be a timing thing. And so just how he coaches and approaches it with that passion, it's something to admire.
You, the end of this year, best you ever played in your life? 2020, I know you did some good things there in Cleveland, but you were hot here at the end of the year.
It's up there.
It's up there, right?
Yeah, it was. And it was, I had so much fun. And I'd say it was. And looking to build on that and keep going.
Do you feel like you pushed them? Because I kind of made the comments and we talked about, remember when he was a little bit like, I think if we play through the pass a little bit more instead of trying to run the ball, you had Todd Bowles who wants to run it. And
I think you said we're never going to be a run-first team. I think that's what you said.
Like, did that edge the team along a little bit to go, you know what, he's right. Let's start throwing it,
well,
and then we'll run it.
I think we had the realization that we weren't very good at the run at times. And so we got to flip the mindset and pass first, then set up the run. But Todd allowed us to be aggressive.
Yeah, right.
You said earlier you don't like to bring up bad memories. I have to bring up one.
What do you got?
A recent one. And this is something we talked about a lot after the loss to the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize you guys had a timeout and it's fourth down and we could stop it here and maybe get the ball back
the
and
Lions
I could maybe throw a couple
properly.
Hail Marys? Yeah. They screwed up the clock management. I mean, I know there's a lot going on in the moment, but in the moment, did you...
Look at this little stumpy guy.
I'm right in the middle of asking the best question of my life, and here comes Jay Glazer.
It was
the best question of my life.
In the moment,
love
I didn't
you.
Realize it.
Just go. We'll see you later. No.
Hey. What's the best question of your life?
No, I'm exaggerating.
Oh, now you're exaggerating.
I'm exaggerating.
I come up here to call you on it. Now you're exaggerating.
Good to see you.
All right, good seeing you.
That was my favorite segment of all time. I'll just let you know.
Thanks. Anyway, did you plan that?
I did not. That was good timing.
In the moment, a lot's happening. But it's like, holy crap. We could have stopped the clock here and gotten the ball back and had about 30 seconds to try to go down and try this,
game. I didn't realize it at the time. But looking back on it, I think they would have just kicked a field goal. And then we would have gotten the ball with even less time. And, I mean, it's hindsight's 20/20. But, yeah. I don't really have a correct answer for that.
Yeah, no. It was a weird thing because it was like the game's over if they kneel the ball correctly.
They handed it to you. It was just weird.
A lot of the guys didn't realize until afterwards.
Give us a quick Advance Auto Parts.
Yeah,
pitch.
So here on behalf of Advance Auto Parts this week, Super Bowl Sunday is obviously a big deal.
Yeah.
But February 18th, next Sunday, is National Car Battery Day.
Whoa.
Oh, and so everybody hates a false start. And when we say false start, dead car battery.
Yeah.
So if you register at aapfalsestarts.com and there's a false start in the game, the big game this Sunday, you get to win a chance to get free car batteries for life.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big deal. So
we're rooting for some old linemen to get a false start.
Just one false start. We don't want too many. We don't want
a sloppy game.
We don't want a sloppy game, but just one false start and somebody's going to get free car batteries for life.
Okay. All right.
Baker,
like
awesome
it.
Stuff. We wish you all the best as free agency approaches. We hope you find a way to stay in Tampa, but wherever things lead, we're going to continue to root for you in all things you do. There he is.
Appreciate
Baker
it.
Mayfield.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
He's coming.
Here, they come. Here he is.
Coming.
There it is. He got the Letterman jacket, the Michigan State Keller on the way.
I love it. Him and KJ Osborne, who's like really one of the most underrated receivers in football. That's going to be great to talk to him. So everybody get out there.
My heart is all a flutter.
If you're a Lions fan or you're a Bears fan, get out your, you know, garbage, ready puke for Vikings love.
I don't know. They may be trying to recruit him.
Yeah, because you're going to gush just
if
constantly.
He's a Viking next year, I don't know.
Here he comes.
Up the stairs with KJ Osborne, Vikings receiver and Vikings quarterback. And walking. He's walking very well.
Man,
he's looking
up?
Good. He's looking healed. Hey, Kirk, how are you, man? Good to see you. KJ, what's up, buddy? Good to see you. All right.
I know.
This
right?
is awesome.
Right?
All right. Here we go.
Hey, we're doing a show.
You're moving
here,
well.
Right?
You're looking good.
We got wings. We got bounties.
You look better in purple than
green,
though.
We got bounties, leather jackets.
Let me just tell you, you look better in purple than green.
Wow.
I just want to get that out of the way.
I like that.
Green is good, but purple is better.
I want to get something out of the way.
Yeah, let's go, Chris.
Okay?
Let's go.
I mean, do you know what's happened in the world?
He's changed his tune.
What?
Yes.
Like, the world's
he's
changing.
He's changed his tune. What is going
people
on?
People can love. Like, well, we can change. He likes you. He wants.
I recognize greatness. I witness greatness.
He wants them to open up the Brinks truck for you.
Hey.
And just give you whatever you want.
I'm ready to chip in. I'm ready to write a check, baby. I got money.
KJ, you don't understand.
I want KJ to stay, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
This was like, I love him. One week it'd be like, Kurt's the greatest thing we've ever seen. He's amazing. The next week he'll be like, you know, I think we should get a new quarterback in Minnesota.
I never said that.
Now he's all in on him.
Maybe I did.
But thank you for being here, guys.
The night I got, listen, I travel home from New York every Monday, week 7. I get home. And it's like, oh, the Vikings are playing in 40s tonight. Oh, God, this is going to be awful. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. My son was all excited because my son, all in, Vikings all the time. And he's like, come on, it'll be fun. Let's, you know, so we get some food and we start watching it. And it's like, oh, my God. I mean, that was the best game of your career,
yeah,
I think.
A lot of fun.
It was incredible. And it was, I think, the culmination of working with Kevin O'Connell. He told us this last February, the same voice in your ear all the time. It gets to a point where it just all merges together. And I think that was the explosion of it that night. It really was incredible. Yeah. And it was a damn shame. I mean, my heart just sunk all the way down to my intestines when you had the injury 6 days later.
Because
I felt you were right at the pinnacle.
Yeah, we were an ascending football team. And even KJ that game, I felt like, you know, with Justin out, KJ was taking on a bigger
big catch,
role.
Yes,
and it just felt like we're finding something here. We're an ascending team. And then, obviously, I didn't get to be a part of it after that. And that's the way the NFL works. You guys live it. You never know what the next weekend's going to bring, which is why there's so much excitement Sunday to Sunday and so much excitement for this Sunday because you just don't know what's coming.
Yeah, right. No doubt about it.
Like, so, KJ, what do we got to do? Yeah. What do we got to do to work this out so we keep both of you
He's
guys in
you
Minnesota?
GM, KJ.
What can we
He's
do?
Making you the GM.
That's above me, man. That's above me. Like I said, I did my work, so that's on them.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of our attitude is we do have a lot of work to do between September and February. And then when it gets to February and March, now we kind of are passive, and it's like, all right, we hire an agent. The team has their role. Let's just see what happens. And we kind of become like everybody else.
Yeah, just kind of sit back and be bystanders, right?
Yeah, because our work's done.
But, like, you got to think a little bit, like, we got something going here.
No doubt.
Like, we don't want to
break
this up, right?
Oh, no doubt. I think, like I said, we're an ascending football team. And a locker room that you like being around, players you like playing with.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of teams would say that probably because you build relationships and you love the people you know. But the reality of the NFL is you just don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know what
don't
happens.
Know. Right. Well, what's crazy, and like KJ, I'd like to get your thought on this too, is just a little bit of like we kind of said during the year, I think you were like 2-4 at one point. We were like, I don't know. It feels crazy.
He
it feels like you guys are actually
better than last year.
As a complete team.
Yeah.
Right? But you had like the fumble disease there early in the game.
Yeah, that's
But did you guys kind of feel that way too?
Yeah, for sure, man. It was just self-inflicted. I mean, it was in that season prior, a lot of the things that we were doing well, we weren't turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were having those one-score games, you know, that winning that turnover battle was huge. And KO would show us a stat every week, every week. You know, I think we were undefeated when we didn't just turn the ball over. We just walked in the stadium, you know, 0-0 in the turnover battle.
Right.
You know, just kind of had those self-inflicted, and then, you know, we kind of started to clean that stuff up. You know, we kind of started trending the right direction. Like I said, we just kind of had some unfortunate injuries, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, that was super important. But, you know, I definitely think we started to trend in the right direction, and we got a good core that we like.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin Jefferson was here earlier this week, too. I think it's important for them to find a way, right?
Yeah.
It's hard for it to be an ascending team without the two of you and without Justin Jefferson.
I think the beauty of these are good problems to have. When you draft well and when you have a stable that's full, you're always going to have the conversation of how do we divvy up the cap, who do we keep. You'd much rather be having those conversations than saying, okay, who do we draft, who do we go find, because we don't have a stable that has players in it. So You're either going to live in one world or the other. I'd much rather live in the world of how do we keep people.
Yeah, right.
You have been quietly kind of creeping up the ranks to the most experienced and oldest quarterbacks in the NFL. You're going to be 36
year.
No, that's not old. I'll take 36. Shit. But pardon me. But do you have a timeline on how many more years you want to do it?
I do think that a few more for sure. I think Tom Brady changed the conversation around. He did a lot of quarterbacks a service by playing as well as he did at 45.
Right.
Drew Brees much the same way with a surgically repaired shoulder, playing as long as he did after that. I just think it changed the conversation. And the game as a quarterback is so much up here. Certainly the physical matters, but this has to come with it. And as you play longer, this gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And so if you have this, you're a much better quarterback at 36 than at 26 because of this. So I think it bodes well for me to be able to play it quite a while longer. I never want to take years for granted or assume things, so I do always kind of take a year-to-year mindset, but I see myself playing several more.
What, KJ, what's the biggest thing you've learned from being around a guy like Justin Jefferson?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I don't know why I thought you were about to say Kirk. I was preparing my mind for that. I mean, JJ, man, I mean, he's a self. He's a self, you know, ever since coming to the league. You know, he's been a constant pro. You know, he works hard, you know, every single day when he's out there. And no matter the circumstances, when he comes in the building, you know, he wants to play. You know, I'm very close to JJ, and JJ loves the game. JJ loves the game of football. A lot of people, it was injury there, you know, with his contract and stuff. Is he going to come back? Is he going to come back and play? Is he going to sit out? I'm talking to him. JJ wants to get back on the field. JJ wants to play.
Right.
Even with the contract stuff that was going on, he just wants to get out there. And I think, you know, his love for the game, you know, that makes him, you know, who he is, you know, because he's a competitor. You know, he wants to compete. He wants to get better. You know, even after having these, you know, Pro Bowl years and, you know, All Pro and things like that, he still tried to find ways to get better. So if one of the best receivers in our game can do it, you know, I can do it as well.
I'm excited to hear your Bounty Quicker Picker Upper, right? I mean, that's a jingle of mine growing up for sure. But I do want to, like, get into your head coach, right? I want to get into, like, some football here.
Let's do it.
I mean, you've been around great OCs.
Yeah.
You've been around Shanahan. We're going to get to that in a minute. But, like, what's your – Kevin O'Connell, what makes him tick? What's the magic, you know, about how he gets you guys open and so efficient on the offensive side of football?
Yeah, I've always said Kevin's a great football mind.
Right.
And if you want to get into deep waters talking football, he can go as deep as you want to go. You know, sometimes you get with a coach and you're like, okay, I kind of pushed it to the ceiling.
Right.
This is as far as we can go, and then we just have to plug the system. We're not going to keep creating after that. If you want to keep creating and have iterations and go deeper, Kevin will go every step you want to go.
Really?
Because of the way his football mind works. You know, when we beat the Niners that night, I look back on that game in an interesting way that we did it with 45 pass attempts.
Right.
You know, which you think to beat the Niners, we need to
be balanced a little.
25 pass attempts, pound the rock, you know, control the clock. We did it dropping back and throwing. And I thought, boy, that's an interesting way to go about beating the Niners.
I was shocked.
But it said a lot about Kevin's approach and strategy and how he was going to do it. And he's definitely gives me a lot of at-bats, if you will. He's going to give me a lot of at-bats to be productive.
He seems like Kyle in a lot of ways where he understands the rules of the defense and really knows how to attack it.
I think that's a good way of saying it. Like, he does. He always talks
defense. You guys
are defense.
Like run dagger, right? But then all of a sudden the 49ers, you like ran two guys at the safety and somebody came underneath it. I was like, that's dagger.
Yeah. Right. I think he created it. Kevin may have created it that week.
Yeah, he did.
Kevin
he did.
Created it that week, it. Yep. And then it goes to, okay, Kevin installed it. Now, KJ, you and I got to get on the same page because this is new.
It's new.
Make sure you take this angle, not that angle. You know, we're only watching it off of one clip. We need to understand we could get other looks, and so those are all the conversations you have with KJ, with the coaches. But
so that was new, though.
Kevin can look at the film and say, "Hey, what if we did this?"
Right.
That's where you go away from the game and you go, "That's coaching. That's strategy. That's X's and O's. That's creativity. That's thinking outside the box." And then it allows for a 20-25 yard completion to KJ in the game.
Right.
And KJ, 4 years together now with Kirk. Are you guys at the point where like you don't even have to communicate? You know you can almost read each other's minds and finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think especially in those 2 minute drives. You know, I know where he's coming. I know he wants to get the ball out of his hands. You know, and you know he's just surgical. I mean, one of the things that I say, you know, when Kirk was playing, it's something different that I had seen in the other 4 years. I mean, I can just tell when he was hot. And it was so funny because he would call us all in the huddle, and he'd be saying the play so fast because he wanted to just get up to the line of scrimmage and keep playing. And keep playing, so, like, we loved it. So, like, we were coming back to the huddle fast. And, like, you know, when you have a guy like that, you know, playing that well, You know, it was great. You know, so it's been a great 4 years, and the relationship just continues.
And I think that's the hard part about free agency.
Yeah,
it's
because
it is what you said, Mike. Yeah. It is a 4 years starting to finish their sentences. It took time to get there. Mm-hmm. We have that. Oh, now we're both free agents. It's like, ah. Right. So, yeah. You know, that's where that putting that puzzle piece together is always an interesting challenge and conversation.
Well, I'm going to do my best to force the pieces together from afar. Yeah. They may not listen to me. Maybe
but
I'll
you
need
do
to
have
say
a platform.
Maybe I'll say do the opposite, and they'll do other than what I'm saying. But regardless, tell us what you got going on with
you
Bounty.
Got
the Bounty
the
Brothers
let's see
here.
You got a connection right
of course,
here, you
man.
Two.
Wingman, man.
Yeah, so you can't have football without wings, and you really can't eat wings
without Bounty.
Without Bounty. So Bounty gave us these awesome Leatherman jackets.
He's
and
nice.
They got wingman on the back. Because we're each other's wingman.
Yeah,
wingman.
I like it.
On the field and off. And so, obviously, you know, Super Bowl on Sunday, a lot of Super Bowl parties.
A lot of messes.
Don't go with the old school napkin.
Napkins
are
not strong enough for
this. The great parties have Bounty. The great parties use the quilted quicker picker-upper,
as
you said.
Exactly.
So that's why we're here, to promote the right paper towel usage for the big game.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I grew up with Bounty. I mean, nothing soaks up like a spilled Coke better than Bounty, right? Which is definitely going to happen at everybody's Super Bowl party. All right, you two knuckleheads. You both played the Chiefs and the 49ers. You're one of the few people that could say both there. Give us a lean. Let us hear. What do you think? Let me hear it. Go ahead.
The Chiefs' defense is a different defense. We played their defense in 2019 when they won it all.
Right.
And I came out of the game going, yeah, they do some good things, but you can get after them. You know, Chris Jones is Chris Jones, but you can get after him. This year, we finished the game, I thought, that's different. And to Spagnuolo's credit, they're not the same defense as 19. It's a different scheme, different approach. He's evolved as well.
Yep.
So.
Right.
That was impressive, and they've shown it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if they win, I do think it's the defense maybe carrying a bigger part of it than it was in 19 or in other years. They've had great success. And then my heart is kind of with the Niners just because of Kyle and my years with him and knowing that he is such a good coach and he deserves a ring. And so I'll be pulling for the Niners a little bit, but I have so much respect for both coaches, both organizations.
I'm with
you. You know, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Chiefs. I'm thinking Chiefs. I mean, they faced a lot of adversity all year long.
Right.
A lot of people didn't know if they would get back to this position just because they weren't, you know, winning with dominance as, you know, you had kind of seen it in the past.
Yeah, right.
But just as any other, you know, big game, I think it'll come down to, you know, a 3-point, 10-point game, and, you know, it'll either be Mahomes having to work his magic or, you know, Purdy and, you know, his crew, you know, doing it as well. So I think it'll be a really good game, but somehow we always, you know, see Mahomes end up
15's going to pull it off.
We haven't had a Super Bowl blowout in a while.
No,
have we?
No, it's been a while.
And
we were just talking about this.
You watch the game, even in warm-ups, you just feel the tension around every flag, every call, every throw, every decision. You know it's going to come back.
It's monumental.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Did that impact the final result?
Chiefs-Bucks was lopsided, but it didn't feel
that's
that
true.
Way.
That's
it didn't feel that way, though. Right. It felt like Patrick Mahomes going to do everything he could
and
to try to
that was one where you felt the Bucks pass rush was able to impact the game in a way that you didn't expect, and probably because their tackles were out. But you wonder, again, can the Niners pass rush do that?
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah, right.
You guys are great Bounty teammates.
Great
we want
teammates.
You to be teammates again.
Right.
Just not with a different team,
purple
please.
Jackets.
Purple.
Purple.
Don't
jackets.
Go somewhere else as a package deal. Stay put. I'm going to work on it. Ziggy.
Oh.
I'm going to call you Ziggy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Goal for the stakes, unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury.
I'm gonna shine my way.
First Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Penix surveys the scene, right up the gut, touchdown!
Love it, little three-quarter release. Penix Jr.'s got a lot of different launch points. He can throw off the back foot on the run. It's just too much for Michigan State to handle right now.
There he is, way back in September against Michigan State. A game that Chris Sims called.
That was me talking.
That was you?
I mean, geez, to know your friends.
That was
you? What are you doing?
That's you?
That.
They let you do that?
They let me do that. They let me kiss his butt for
Penix
3.5 hours.
Jr. Michael Penix Jr. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Did you know you're at a table of all lefties?
That's crazy.
Three lefties.
All three lefties.
Right?
That's
we're
amazing,
a dying breed,
man.
A quarterback. You got to save us
yes,
right
sir.
Now, man.
Yes, sir. I
you got
you.
To. Who?
Go ahead.
All right, I was going to say, who do you model your – like, who's your – like, there's only Tua in football right now.
Right.
Is there any other lefties you model your game after, or do you just go the hell with the lefty thing and I like other quarterbacks?
Yeah, growing up, I was a Mike Vick fan.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I
so,
hear that.
That was the lefty that, you know, I was modeling my game after, you know, but now, you know, I'm watching everybody. You
yeah.
know, I'm trying to steal stuff all the time.
I got you. Yeah, Mike could throw that thing, man. I played against Mike. He had a rocket for an arm.
At what point growing up, Michael, did you realize I can throw this thing pretty well too?
I was real young. My parents, they told me stories before, like me being like 3 years old throwing a football over the house, like little small footballs over the house, you know. But at the age of 10, that's when I started playing quarterback, and it was like nobody else on the team could throw the ball, and for some reason, I don't know why, I was able to throw it really far, and I got put into that position. But you know, I would say I realized my talent, you know, maybe my junior year of high school. Yes, sir.
That was when you knew.
That's
yeah.
when I knew. I was
you
like,
knew, like, okay, I'm at a different level than a lot of these other guys I'm playing in high school football
right.
and whatever else.
Right.
And a lot of it's going to come naturally, but what part of it do you have to work on the most?
Mainly mechanics. You know, that's why I say junior year, because before then I didn't really have the mechanics. You know, I was just going off of raw talent. And, you know, I met my first quarterback coach my freshman year, and by the time my junior year came around, I was feeling like I had a pretty good throwing motion, and, you know, I felt smooth throwing the ball.
You got to stay on top of mechanics. Like, you're a talented natural thrower.
Right.
Right? I was, too. And you can get into bad habits when you're like that, too, because you're just like, oh, I can throw it here, I can throw it there.
Right.
And then you don't become the machine. Who do you work with? How do you stay on top of yourself, you know, yeah. as far as mechanics are concerned?
Yeah, so throughout my high school career, I was always working with a guy named Chip Bennett. And his son, C.J. Bennett. I worked with John Kaleo and Robert Marv as well, you know, throughout high school. But as I've been my last 2 years in college, you know, I've been working with John Beck at 3D QB.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's who
no
I'm
John.
Training with now for the draft. And he's been amazing. He's been helping me out with a lot of things, you know, that, you know, I didn't know about the mechanic-wise in,
right.
in the NFL and, like, and just a quarterback in general. So.
Right. What's the thing you have to stay on top of? Like, what's the kryptonite where you always have to go, oh, I got to remind myself to do that because sometimes I get sloppy with that. Like, with me, I didn't always keep my front shoulder in, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'd be a little just too army and might be wide open.
That's exactly what
you?
I was. Yeah, just keep my front shoulder in, you
right.
know, not losing my power.
Your power and your torque, right?
Right,
right.
Yeah, my torque.
Yeah. yeah.
We're going to be at the scouting combine before you know it. What are you planning to do there by way of workouts? Have you made decisions yet?
I haven't toned it down yet, you know, but I would definitely be throwing. I know that for sure. You know, I'll be doing some other events as well, you know, but I'm not sure exactly what all I'll do yet.
I got a bone to pick with you.
What's that?
I mean, what do you? Why'd you do that to my Longhorns? What the hell? Like,
hey,
what the hell?
Hey, man,
horns down, baby.
I mean,
horns down.
Then you got your guys and your team disrespecting our fans in the corner of the end zone. What the hell is this crap out here?
Hey, man, it was a great game.
Tell us about your experience all together, the Final Four, right?
Yeah.
Just being a part of that, the spectacle. Let us in on that.
Man, it was amazing. You know, it was a blessing to be in that position. You know, to be able to get there, we had to beat a very good Oregon team twice, you know, and they definitely were a really good team, you know, and you know, we were looked at as underdogs, you know, going
right.
into the championship game. But to be able to win the last Pac-12 championship, you know, bring it back to UW, you know, it was an amazing experience. And then, you know, being in the playoffs, it was amazing. You know, just seeing the amount of love and, like, support you get from just everybody that's
right.
involved, you know,
right.
on the outside. And, you know, how much it takes to, you know, make something like that. You know, happened. It was definitely amazing to be a part of.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
Michael, we were all impressed by your ability and your will and desire to keep going at the end of the national championship game. You were clearly bothered by something. You kept reaching at your flagship. We were just curious. What was going on? What was the injury?
It really wasn't an injury, like, I guess, because
an accumulation of ass beating, but, maybe is what it was, right? Like getting hit a lot.
Maybe beating Texas too much. It was like a rib contusion. Just a little rib bruise. You know, it was nothing that showed up on any MRIs or X-rays and stuff like that. You know, so I was blessed to be able to be healthy right now, and to be able to be training right now. So,
was there ever a point in that game where you considered enough, like, that's it, throw in the towel, I'm going to get off the field, this hurts too much, we're not going to come back? Why didn't you do that?
I've been out too long. I've been out too much throughout my career. My career has been cut short four seasons in a row, and I couldn't let my last college game go out like that. So I was going to do whatever I could to make sure I stayed on that field.
Just tell him, be like, because I'm a tough mofo. That's why I didn't come out of the game.
Well, I was giving him a chance to say it.
You are. Like, that's the big thing about you, right? I mean, we're going to see you at the combine. We'll be there. But are you, like, I all year was like, I don't understand why Penix is not in the Drake May and Caleb Williams conversation. I said that on the game I did of yours. I did not get that. But it all seems to, with my NFL friends and everybody I know around the league, it's all about your past injuries, right?
Yeah.
Are you ready for how much they're going to pull you and prod you, and you're going to be x-rayed every joint and all that crap that you're going to have to deal with here in a few weeks?
Yeah, I'm ready for it all. I met with Dr. Elitrosh. He did some I did MRI scans and stuff with him, and, he gave me the thumbs up and said that I look good and very healthy, so – at that point, it's all out of my control from that point. So
you're just going to have to fight this and talk to people and make sure they feel confident with you and all that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give us one guy you played against at any point in your college career that made you say, wow.
The Murphy kid from Texas, the D tackle, number 90. He was really good.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he was really good.
Right.
I'm not going to lie.
What about him impressed you? What was it?
Just his motor and just he was back there by me
too
much.
He was up in your face a lot.
Yeah, man, he was back there by me too much. But I remember early in the game, earlier in that game, he got to me maybe two times in a drive, and just talking to my offensive line, which is the best offensive line in the country this year, winning the Joe Moore. So I was super blessed to have those guys. So I'm in the huddle, I'm like, hey, this can't keep happening.
Yeah, what's
those
going
guys
on
are
here?
Like,
right.
My offensive line, man, they responded very well, like they always do, and they're like, hey, you won't get touched again, and. I never got touched again. I didn't see him back there for the rest of the game, But that just speaks volumes to my offensive line, the guys I had around me protecting me. Super blessed to be able to have them. So
who's the – go ahead. Yeah, I didn't mean to –
no, I don't know anything. Go ahead. I have something, but I was waiting for you to go.
Who's the guy, you're excited to see in the NFL? Like, who's that guy you're like, damn, I can't wait to be on the field with him and see what it looks like?
I said Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
He's – crazy, freakish athlete, but also a very good quarterback. So.
Right. Yeah, he's got it all, man. It's like I said, I saw Michael Vick. It's a lot like that, and it's like, wow, a lot.
Yes, back to the lefty thing that we talked about earlier. I feel like the world discriminates against left-handed people.
Seriously.
Give me some of the inconveniences you've experienced in your life trying to manage the world as a lefty.
Not much, to be honest. I hear some things, lefties, they throw it weird and stuff like that, but all that stuff is out of my control. All I can do is listen to my quarterback coach and make sure my mechanics are what it's supposed to be. And I feel like I throw a very good ball. And
you do.
And a lot of that stuff is out of my control.
Well, you're here for Sharpie, right? So Sharpie, the good thing for lefties is it doesn't bleed. So you won't get it all over your hand when you drag across, right? Because that's where we're challenged in the world.
Exactly, right? Man. Yeah, so
so you're a damn good quarterback, but I don't know about salesman yet, and we're going to see what you got. So it's time to go. Let's see.
Yeah, man. Like you just said, man, Sharpie is no smear, no smudge, no bleed. That's the biggest thing about it. As a lefty, like you said, not having the ink on my pen and stuff like that. And I'm super blessed to be able to be partnered with them and with this high performance pen, the SGL pen. Which I'll be signing my NFL contracts with.
Ooh, and, lots of zeros on that one.
Yeah, man, but I'm super excited. I'm super excited for this partnership, and I'm blessed to be a part of it. And, I'll definitely be using this throughout my career.
I'll be using it, too. I'm big. I'm into my pens, so Sharpie, I got them everywhere, right?
You should see it. He doesn't type anything. That notebook. He's got notebooks everywhere.
That's all I do.
It's like 1952 with him.
I got
all he does is write.
I got notes on you.
All he does is write.
I got it all in there. I got it all.
So
Speaking of zeros, how and you were part of college football before and after NIL.
Right.
How different once the NIL thing happened?
It is different in a lot of ways. You know, like the whole transfer portal thing, you know, for me, you know, whenever I was going through it, you know, it wasn't about the NIL stuff for me, you know, but it was about finding a place where I can get the best opportunity to, you know, help myself be in the best position to, you know, be successful throughout my career. So, you see it now sometimes, you know, some guys are going based on NIL and stuff like that, you know, but I can't fault anybody, you know, for their decisions and what they feel is best for their future, you know, but I feel like the whole NIL thing is a blessing though, because I feel like, you know, it's for a long time, you know, college players should have been getting paid for playing. It's super excited to be able to see that happening now. So,
transfer portal too. You should be able to go wherever you want to go. Coaches go wherever they want to go.
Right.
People can go. People change jobs all the time.
Right.
If they're not going to pay you, they should at least let you go where you think you're going to have your best opportunity to play and get yourself ready for when you do get paid.
Exactly. You know, that's true. And that's definitely like the situation I was in, you know, and yeah, and then I like how they opened up the transfer portal thing. You can play now, you know, right away, because, like, you see it a lot, you know, with college football coaches, you know, getting new jobs, you know, or getting fired and stuff like that. And then you might get put in a bad position, you know. So for the transfer portal to be able to be open now and to where you can transfer and play, you know, I feel like it is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So you didn't, like, the Senior Bowl thing, real quick, just last one.
Right.
Like, we're here. We think those are the right decisions. But tell us about, because I don't care about you didn't play in the game. You got to do what's right for Michael Penix Jr. Tell us about the week, though. Like, what was the most eye-opening thing about the Senior Bowl week? You know, you got to see players.
Yeah.
You got to learn some NFL offenses. How did that kind of go?
The biggest thing, you know, I feel like just competing at a high level. You know, you just got all the top guys from their schools, you know, at each position, you know, out there, you know, competing at a high level. You know, showing how bad they want to be great, you know, and that was a blessing. And also being able to go through sort of the interview process with different teams and stuff like that, you know, it was great to be able to be a part of that and, you know, kind of get a taste of that. So it was good.
Yeah, cool, man. Cool.
Coming soon to the National Football League with his Sharpie gig in tow,
lefty,
Michael
baby.
Penix Jr., doing it for all the lefties
all
out
the
there.
All the lefties out there.
Thanks,
you're
Michael.
Our guy.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
right.
it.
We'll be back
save
with
us.
More from the Super
sir,
Bowl right after this. All right, next guest, a two-time NCAA national football champion and two-time winner of the prestigious John Mackey Award that goes to the best tight end in the country. He is Georgia tight end Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Brock, welcome. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Brock Bowers is one of the few people that comes into college football, and as a freshman you go, he shouldn't have to stay 3 years, right? We still talk about that every now and then, right, where there's a player that you like – we're like ready to go, Mr. Big Time guy, right from the start. I just want to tell you how impressed I was with your career. Like, you were one of those guys that popped the second I watched TV.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right. Where the hell did you get all this talent? Who is it? Who's in your family? Is the mom the beast? Is the dad the beast? Who is it?
That's actually an argument between my parents. They both played college sports. My dad played college football. My mom played college softball. But my mom always likes to say it. I got my athleticism from her side, so
right.
It's always an argument.
So go with the mom. Go with mom.
Yeah.
The hell
with
dad.
What was the point, Brock, when you were growing up where you were like, okay, I got something special too?
It's hard to say. I mean, I always kind of – there's always kind of like this doubt, and I just kept working. And, I mean, it just kind of – just tried to be the best, and I mean, just ended up kept working. It worked out for me.
Georgia, like, what else was in the running between Georgia? Where were you down to when you were making these type of decisions a few years ago?
I mean, I was down to a couple schools. I mean, Washington, Notre Dame, UCLA was included in there. But just kind of after looking at my options, and I wanted to play with the best and be on a winning team. So, I mean, I just decided Georgia.
Yeah, well, you picked the right one.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, let me just say this one more time. The fact that you guys weren't in the Final Four this year is one of the dumbest things in American sports history. It really is. I mean, you dominated college football for 3 years, and you lose one game, and they go, no, you can't get in the Final Four. All right, I had to say that. Either way.
Yeah.
Let him say what he has to say about
okay,
it. He's getting
yeah,
ready to say
ahead.
Something.
Oh,
what
no,
do you think? Come on, go ahead.
You're not in the NCAA anymore. Screw them.
Sometimes, yes. We can't give him any excuse to leave him out. I mean, we just kind of sold it at the end, and it happens.
Yeah. All right, so back to Georgia, though. You're a freak. You got all these other freaks growing on trees there. Mm-hmm. Give me, like, the top two freakiest guys through your time in Georgia, right? Offense, defense, I don't care who it was. Give me the ones that pop right to your head.
Definitely Trayvon Walker.
Trayvon Walker.
Yeah. Going against him my freshman year, I first got there. Just a little freshman me. I was skinny. And he was on the other side of the ball doing in the six tech and just banging on it. It was awful. And he was the freakiest dude I think I've seen come through there.
That's right. All right.
Yeah.
So he was number one. Who's number two? Who's like coming up there, you know, right behind him?
Number two?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, Darnell's up there just because his freakish size, and he was out there hurdling people.
Right.
Darnell Washington, yeah, right. Our other tight end.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's gigantic.
Yeah.
Let's flip it around to guys you've seen when you're out there between the lines taking on someone else. Give us a guy that you played against that made you say, wow.
I think two guys that really stand out is Will Anderson and Aiden Hutchinson. They were both dudes that were just, like, they'd get out the ball like that. Like, just as soon as the ball was snapped, they'd be right in your face. So, I mean, they were two freaky athletes, too.
Yeah, you grew up in the Napa Valley area, right?
Oh, yeah.
So are you Napa a Niners City. Fan or a Raiders fan?
All my family's Niners fans, so, yeah, kind of Niners.
So you'll be rooting for them this week?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. And then, you know, you got a little George Kittle about you, right? Who's your guy that you kind of look at in the NFL and go, ooh, I want my game to be like him? I mean, I know you want to be better than him, but, you know, who do you model yourself after?
I mean, I love watching Kittle. I love watching Kelce. Those are the two of the main guys. I mean, they're both playing this weekend, so I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah.
And, those are the two main guys I've tried to model my game after.
Yeah.
Is there a team that you're eyeballing for your future in the NFL? I know you can't control it, but if you could, where would you want to go?
Whoever wants to take me. I mean, it's hard to say. I'd love to go to
He wants the Niners to get rid of Kittle, and then he wants to go to the 49ers.
He's almost saying it.
I'd be all right with going to the Tennessee Titans. I mean, I liked it down
really
in the Georgia, Tennessee area.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought it was cool, but, that'd be a cool spot to
be. You hear that, Titans?
It's a good spot.
You hear that, Titans? Get ready, Titans.
I've played in Tennessee for 2 years. It's a great football town. It's only getting better, so I hear you there. It's a great place to live, too. Yeah. That'd be cool to do. All right, so you had the injury at the end of your year, right? Mm-hmm. You missed the SEC championship game. You played the SEC championship. You missed the bowl game.
Yeah.
Where are we at? We feeling good? We're on total combine mode right now?
Yeah, we're a lot better. Full speed going, just getting after it training-wise. And, just got it all healed up and ready to rock.
And training-wise means you're doing all that crap that they make you do in Indianapolis where you got to do touch your toes and run and cone drill and this, that. You're doing all those things so you can get the best possible times?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm just working with the XOs, doing whatever they tell me to do, and hopefully it comes out to a good result.
Yeah, you like have like some numbers in mind yet? Because we're gonna see you at the combine.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna be there, and I'm gonna.
He probably won't want to talk to us.
I'm gonna grill your ass when you get there again, just so you know. We're gonna make sure you're in shape properly too. But like, you got. Do you expect to run a 4.5 in the 40? I mean, are you expecting that? I know I don't want to put pressure on you, but
yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean,
the low 4.6s, 4.5-ish. You think you're going to be in those ranges?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. I guess.
All right,
yeah.
You're so humble, you.
Yeah.
Look at this freaking we'll nature humble guy over here.
Let me ask you about somebody else then. Kirby Smart, your head coach. How do you think he would fare if he would make the jump to the NFL at some point?
I mean, I don't know if that. He always says how much he loves Athens and how much he wants to stay there because that's his alma mater, and that's what he wants to be at, it seems like. But I mean, I think he'd do great. I mean, he's just a winner. He's a tough coach, but he loves you. And I mean, yeah, he's awesome.
It's funny. He's a tough coach. He's got some Saban about him.
Mm-hmm.
He talks tougher on the microphone than maybe even Saban. And I'm not even trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But can you joke with him at all? Like, can you have fun with Kirby? Like, sometimes you see the Bama players making fun of Nick Saban, and he can, like, Kirby sometimes I feel like wouldn't be, like, he's the general. He doesn't want that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we kind of try to stray away from that.
Right.
But it depends on the moment. Like, if we're in practice and he's yelling at somebody, you don't want to be, like, in his eyesight because he'll jump right on you. But, I mean, it depends on the moment, I feel like.
What's the worst you've gotten from him?
I think it was my freshman year. We were going with one coverage, and I missed it during the game. We were going through corrections, and I missed it again. And he just jumped in me bad on the loud mic, on the loudspeaker, over the whole indoor. It was pretty funny, like, looking back on it.
So when you do a walkthrough or a practice, he has a mic?
Oh, yeah. He's walking around the practice field with the mic. I mean, you'll be on the opposite field, and he'll call out your name, and you'll be like,
what? Is God talking?
Yeah,
it is God.
As far as they're concerned,
Georgia
football,
yes.
Yeah. God can't help you now.
Yeah.
Give us your Auto Trader pitch.
I mean, going to the NFL, I'm going to be pretty busy, and, I mean, they're just going to help me. Probably first purchase is going to be a car, so, I mean, they're just going to help me out streamlining that process and making it easy for me so I can just spend most of my time focusing on training and getting ready for the for the season. So they're just making buying the cars easy.
Man, he's so focused. Well, he doesn't even want to think about the cars. He just wants Auto Trader to get them lined
up.
Just
have him show up.
I like that's laser focus right there. I like that, man. I really do.
All right, well, Brock, we wish you all the best. We will see you in Indianapolis unless you see us first and run the other way, which you very well might do. Brock Bowers, Georgia tight end, on his way to the NFL.
Okay, hope you enjoy those interviews, homies. We'll have another episode for you on Wednesday where Sims and Florio talk to Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, DJ Moore, and Devontae Smith. So that wide receiver heavy episode is going to be coming at you on Wednesday. So talk to you then. Peace out.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.